In 1 Samuel chapter 25, David is about to go into a fight. It's a fight that I don't think God wanted him to go into, and God stopped him before he got there. He had his men, as they were encamped in the field, had protected the sheep and shepherds of a man named Nabal. And sheep shearing time, the man that owned the sheep, the person that owned the sheep, usually provided a feast for his shepherds, for the people that sheared the sheep. And because David's men had protected the sheep, he sent a couple guys to Nabal asking to share in that bounty. Nabal refused him, and David got mad about it. And as we read there in verse 13, he said, told his men, "Gird on your swords. We're going to go teach Nabal a lesson." Now, I'll just tell you the rest of the story. It's not really the basis of my message tonight. That one verse that we read is the basis of my message. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard about it and went out to meet David with some of the bounty, some of the food that Nabal had prepared for his shearers, and basically talked David out of carrying forward his plan, talked him into going home. And she said, "You know, if you do this, it'll be something you regret, and it'll be something you'll be sorry for later, and just take what I brought and go back home." And I'm so glad that, and again, this is not my message, but I'm so glad that God keeps us out of trouble. I'm so glad God stops us when he knows we're about to do something that we'll regret. And if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, I mean, God used a woman to deliver his message to his man, David, and he listened. And if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll keep us out of things that God doesn't want us to get into. He'll keep us out of things that we'll later regret. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to direct your attention to verse 13. The last phrase of that verse where it says, "And 200 abode by the stuff." 600 men altogether. 400 were ready to go to war with David. They had strapped on their swords. They were marching toward Nabal's house. They were ready to carry out this punishment that David wanted to carry out for this man. And they were going to fight. And there were 200 of the 600 that didn't have on their swords, that weren't marching behind David. There were 200 that stayed by the stuff. You say, "Preacher, what's the stuff that the Bible's talking about in that verse?" Well, the stuff that the Bible's talking about in that verse are these men's families, their wives, their children. Are these men's livestock, their sheep and their goats and their camels, their clothes, their tents, their food, everything that they needed to have life, everything that they needed to enjoy life, these 200 men stayed and protected. The 400 men, again, are the ones that had their swords on. They were the ones that were marching behind David. They were the ones that were ready to go into battle. And you might say that the 400 had an opportunity for more glory than the 200 that stayed by the stuff. The 400 had an opportunity to gather more fame for themselves than the 200 that stayed by the stuff. The 400 would be the men that would be in the headlines the next day. They would be the ones that the paper were writing about. And the 200 that stayed by the stuff probably wouldn't get mentioned at all. There would be a lot of stories told to grandchildren about the 400 that went into war, and probably not many stories about the 200 that stayed by the stuff. But my point is tonight, my message is tonight, the truth that I want to get across to you tonight is that in this grand scheme of things, the 200 that stayed by the stuff were just as important in God's scheme, in God's plan, as the 400 that were going to go into battle. They were just as important to God and to the cause of God than the 400 that were marching behind David to go inflict this punishment. And the same thing is true in a church. There are people in the church that get to stand up front. There are people in the church whose jobs are very visible. But there are a lot of people in the church that you have no idea what they do. They work behind the scenes. They never get in front of anybody. They never get the glory that sort of comes by being out in front of everybody. And by the way, when we stand before you, it is not for our glory. It is the glory of God. I appreciate when you come out and say, good message, preacher. But I always say, hey, I'm just the delivery boy. I'm just the messenger boy. Praise God. Because it's His message. It's His word. But people that stand in front, I mean, we're known. You get to see us. And you might ascribe stuff to us that we don't deserve because we are standing in front. But there's scores of people that never get to stand in front. You never get to see their face in a public meeting like this, standing up before anybody. But the work that they do and the things that they do in the scheme of the church, in this plan of God, is just as important as the ones that get to stand up and preach and lead the singing and teach Sunday school. They are just as important. God needs them just as much as the people that get to stand and you get to see. Now, you might ask, preacher, well, what stuff do people in the church stand by? I'm glad you asked that question because I have a 7-point answer tonight. Now, I know what time it is, and I'll get you out so you can get to McDonald's and Halo Burger and before the Methodists get out. By the way, they don't have church on Sunday night, so you're not competing with anybody. But let me just tell you what I mean tonight when I say there are people that you never see up in front that are just as important as anybody that stands up front. The people that you don't see and what they do is just as important as what I do, as what Adam does, as what anybody does that stands up in a leadership position. Let me give you a 7-part answer tonight. What stuff do they stand by? Number one, they stand by the services in this church. They are people that come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They come week after week after week after week, month after month, year after year. They don't miss a service. Now, again, they get sick every now and then, and they have to miss a service. But their priority is to be in church Sunday morning for both Sunday school and church. And by the way, I hesitate to say anything because I'm teaching the class, but I think you miss a blessing if you miss Sunday school on Sunday morning. I think you need to take advantage of getting into God's Word on Sunday morning and come to Sunday school. But these people that stay by the stuff, they stay by the services. They come for Sunday school, they stay for church on Sunday morning, they come back on Sunday night, and they come back on Wednesday night. There's a preacher in Chattanooga, Tennessee by the name of Lee Robertson. He built a great church in Chattanooga. He built a great college. It's not so great now because when he left, the church and the college sort of fell apart. But he had a motto. And his motto to his church and to his college was 3 to thrive. 3 to thrive. And his point was, if you want to thrive in your Christian life, you need all three. You need Sunday morning, you need Sunday night, and you need Wednesday night. And we ought to make it a priority. And I am so grateful. I praise God every day for the people that stay by the stuff and are faithful to every service that goes on in this place. I mean, I know before I even come, they're going to be there. I know if they're not there, they're sick. Because if they're not sick, they are there. And we need to get back to the point. We need more people that stay by the stuff in coming to every service that this church has. Every service. I think God can do something at every service. I think the Holy Spirit could speak to us at every service. You know what? I think the Holy Spirit could speak on Wednesday night. I think the Holy Spirit could speak in Sunday school. I know he speaks in the morning service. That's where most people are. And then the service on Sunday night. I know he speaks, but I think he can speak anytime that we get together. And I think we ought to get back to the point. We're coming to church twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday night is a priority. It's more important than anything else we do. It takes priority over anything else we do. And I am so grateful for the people in this church that make it a point to be here every time the doors open. I was thinking, you know, we eat 3 meals a day. We thrive when we eat 3 meals a day. Some of us thrive more than others. And I want you to notice, did you notice this morning, you that were here for Sunday school? I could have used, putting down the fork as an example of the temptation that God gives us. But since I didn't want to teach to myself this morning, I didn't mention it. But that is a temptation that I fight to put down the fork, to not take that second piece of apple pie that people offer me. But we eat three times a day to stay healthy. Don't you think we should ought to eat three times a week from the table of God? Don't you think we ought to pull up to the table three times a week and partake of His Word and what He has to offer? So staying by the stuff is being faithful to the services in this place. Number two, staying by the stuff is staying in this book, is reading this book, is loving to get in and spend time in this book, and reading it, and studying it, and memorize it. As Christians, we need to stay by this book. We need to spend more time in this book than we do in the newspaper. We need to spend more time in this book than we do in magazines. We need to spend more time in this book than we do from books in our library. Sorry, Thea, but I'm preaching here. I'm glad that Ray and Thea take care of the library. I'm glad we got lots of good books in that library, and I'm glad that we have people that use it. But if you're reading library books more than you're reading God's Word, you're missing the point. This book ought to be the most important book in your life. You ought to spend more time in this book than you do any other book. Let me go a step further. We ought to spend more time reading this book than we do watching TV. We ought to spend more time in this book than we do listening to the radio. We ought to spend more time in this book than we do any other form of amusement. If you're a bowler, you ought to read this book more than you bowl. If you like baseball, you ought to read this book more than you play baseball. Listen, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We need to stay in it. And we stay by the stuff when we stay in this book. I think we need to get back to family altars. I think moms and dads need to get their children together, if they still have children at home, and every day read from this book. Some of the most precious memories I have in my life are when I was over my grandparents. Every day, my grandma Manning and my grandpa and grandma Gibson, every day they read the Bible, and I stayed with them a lot. And when I stayed with them a lot, when I stayed with them every day, I would sit at their feet and I would hear them read. My grandma, both of them were the readers. My grandpa Gibson didn't read very much. At least I never heard him read. But she was the reader, and she would read, and then he would pray, and she would pray. And some of the most precious memories I have in my life are sitting at their feet, listening to them read the Word of God, hearing them pray. We need to get back to that. Your kids need to hear you read the Bible. Your kids need to hear you pray. You say, well, I don't have time. I'm too busy. Then I'll just tell you, you're too busy. You're too busy. Make some time. Put it in your schedule. Put it in your schedule for your grandchildren. I know some of you have your grandchildren on a regular basis. There's nothing wrong with setting them down and reading them a Bible story. Nothing wrong with hearing grandma and grandpa pray. We need to get back to that. Those that stay by the stuff stay in this book. Number three, those that stay by the stuff are those that know how to pray. They know how to get a hold of God. They know how to wrestle with Him like Jacob. That's when Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. They know what it is to pray to God like Abraham as he was holding his nephew Lot up. They need to know what it is to pray like Elijah to call down fire from heaven. Prayer is more than just a little prayer that we say sometimes with our grandchildren and our children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should wake before I die, I pray the Lord would take me home on high. It's been so long since I prayed that with anybody that I forgot the last part of it. But prayer's more than that. Prayer's more than that. You know, we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I wonder how many of us spend an hour in prayer. We need to, people that stay by the stuff, people that do something that are important that you never see up front, if they're down on their knees, if they're going to God in prayer, they are staying by the stuff, and what they do sometimes is more important than what the people up front do. I've often thought, I've often thought that people that prayed for our services, that held them up before God, and I know there's people that do that because they've told me they do that, that they have more, they are the cause of more that happens in our services than I am. They spend time in prayer. They lift you up to God. They pray. And oftentimes, I think they have more to do what goes on in this place than I do. They stay by the stuff. Number four, those that stay by the stuff are faithful to invite others. You know, as a church, we're not going to thrive just by putting up a sign and say, you all come. I mean, there's going to be some people like that couple this morning that see our sign and drop in, but they'll be the exception. What will cause us to thrive is when we invite people to come to this place. When we go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I mean, we have special days and we do things like we're going to do next week to have a dinner to give you a special enticement to invite somebody to come. But you know what? I think every Sunday's special. I think every Sunday is the Lord's Day. I think every Sunday we ought to work to get people to come to this place. And there are people that are faithful week after week after week after week inviting others to come. They stay by the stuff. Number five, those that faithfully give, those that faithfully tithe, those that faithfully give offerings are people that stay by the stuff. You know, sometimes we take our tithes too lightly. Our tithe doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. I'm talking about 10% of the gross, 10% off the top. And I know I've heard people say down through the years, I can't afford to tithe. And inevitably, it works out that God is going to get his tithe. And I've always found that it's always easier for us to give it than it is for God to take it. Because when God takes it, it usually involves some pain on our part, some discomfort on our part. And I've always found, not only from my own experience, of course I've told you about when I was a kid, about my early experience with tithing. My dad would give us a quarter. It was part of our allowance, but to make sure we tithe, he would put it in a church envelope for us, and he'd give us. I think we were got up to like $2.50 a week when we were teenagers, and so he'd give us two and a quarter, and he'd put a quarter in an envelope and say, "Okay, here's your tithe. All you got to do is drop the envelope in. I made it easy for you." Well, I sort of thought I needed the quarter, so I would take a paper clip and cut a little slit at the bottom of the envelope, and the quarter would fall out. I probably shouldn't tell you this as your pastor, but it was working out fine until the treasurer went to my dad and said, "Why is your son putting in empty envelopes that have 25 cents on the envelope?" Brother Brian, we would never do that, would we? No. Well, our treasurer did. He went to my dad. Man, did I get a whooping! He made a point with me. He said, "You are stealing from God. That is not your money." I said, "Dad, it's part of my allowance." "No, it's not. It belongs to God. It is not yours. You are stealing from God. A thief needs to be punished." He took out the razor strap. I got one of the worst whippings I ever got in my whole life. But I want to tell you, I never took that quarter again. I want to tell you, I've always tithed. I've always... In fact, well, I won't tell you, but it's a lesson that I have never, ever forgot. And I'm so grateful to my dad that he cared enough about me to teach me that lesson. People that give are people that stay by the stuff. Number six, and I didn't list these in order of priority. Maybe these last two should have been the first ones that I've mentioned. People that love God. People that love God more than anything else. People that keep the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Love God more than the world. Love God more than anything in the world. Love God more than their family. Jesus said one time, if the love for your family doesn't look like hate compared to your love for me, you're not loving me enough. And we need to love God with all that we are. We need to love God with all that we have. We need to be a people that are marked. And when people look at us, they can say, there is a person that loves their God. And people that love God in that way are people that stay by the stuff. They're more, and again, some of these people you'll never see standing up in front. Some of these people are even too shy to say a word in front of other people. But their love for God does more for this church because they stay by the stuff. And then number seven, those that love others. This couple that dropped in this morning, they drove by the church. They saw our sign a couple weeks ago. And as they were going out this morning, they told me, they said, "Pastor, this is our first time here, but we've never felt so loved in any place we've ever been." And I want to tell you something. I know sometimes people worry because we take time shaking hands. Sometimes people worry because we take time to greet one another. Sometimes people worry because they're worried about, you know, what time we're going to get done. But I want to tell you something. Those times that we spend shaking hands, those times that we spend greeting one another, those times that we spend hugging one another, and some of you, I mean, you'll hug people that come in for the first time. I mean, you're not picky. You'll hug anybody. And praise the Lord for you. Because when people leave this place, they know they've been to a place that loves them. They know they've been to a place that cares for them. And these things that I've mentioned, again, they may not make the headlines. They may not be up front. They may not be visible. But these things that I've mentioned are just as important, if not more important, than anything that anybody that stands up front does. Because staying by the stuff is what's going to build this church. Staying by the stuff, it's what's going to please God. And so tonight, I hold up all of you that stay by the stuff, all of you that are faithful to the services, all of you that stay in the Word of God, all of you that pray, all of you that are faithful to invite others, all of you that give. And again, I don't know who gives what. I mean, the folks that count the offering and Angie, they don't tell me who gives what. I don't ask. I don't want to know. But I'm so grateful that God has given us a bunch of givers. I'm so grateful that God has given us a bunch of lovers. I'm so grateful that God has given us a people that love Him and love others. That's what makes this church. It's the people that stay by the stuff. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for those folks. Again, these are the folks that may not ever be up in front. These are the folks that do things that most people don't know anything about. But God, this place wouldn't be what you want it to be without them. We wouldn't enjoy the blessings that we enjoy without them. And so tonight, Father, I lift them up. I lift them up and I praise you for them. Help us to be a people that stay by the stuff. Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, as they heard Ruth Ann sing that song a moment ago, Father, they heard enough gospel to know that they need a Savior. They heard enough gospel to know that they're a sinner. That sin separates them from you. But then when Jesus died for them, He was paying the price of their sins. And Father, if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would convict them. You'd show them their sin. You'd show them the price of that sin. You'd show them the Savior who died in their place just for them. And Father, tonight, help them make that decision to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus offers to every single person. Help them in just a second to walk the aisle. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to do that if they need help. But Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in our place, for us as an individual, for paying the price of our sin. Help us to love you. Help us to serve you. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.